Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Friend Day here at Charleston Church. Why don't you stand to your feet? So glad that you all came by and are going to enjoy having church with us today. I'm Paul Rogers. I'm one of the pastors here. For those of you who may not know, we are going to sing some songs and praise the Lord together. We just encourage you to sing along, clap your hands, and just enjoy yourself here in the presence of the Lord. And I want you to just look around about three or four people, just shake their hand. Tell them you're happy to see them here today. And then we're going to get started singing some songs unto the Lord together.
Jesus.
shout of praise. Somebody here. Oh, it gets better. It gets better.
Let the king of my heart days. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song.
Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
We declare it.
But you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
He never will.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. We sing out, come on. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Say it.
You're good, good, so good. You're good.
No, he's a good.
If that's your testimony today, I want you to say thank you, Jesus, right now. Make sure it's nice and loud. The greatest thing we can show people today is how much God has changed us and what he's done in our life. So go ahead. Lift him up for all the great things he's done. You know where he's been in your life. You know that once you were far from him, but today you're connected. Let's just praise him with all our might for all that he's done and all that he's going to do. Oh, we thank you for the story of heaven today, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on the cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. The sun is still in all the world. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Praise his name for. Days.
of heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ. Oh, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing our praise. Oh, Lord our God. Yeah.
He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Come on, praise Him a little.
To be here today, you know why? Because we're here to celebrate Jesus. I don't know, He's come in my life so many times. He's there in the hard times. Has He been in any of your hard times? Oh, maybe I stopped at the wrong church. Hold on. Has He been with you in your hard times? And He's been with me in my good times. He's been with my children. He's been with my family. He's been with me at work. Wherever you need Him, wherever you need Him, He's there. He is there. Can we just lift our hand and just thank Him for a second? Let's do a 30-minute thank you. God, we thank You that You are with us. We thank You that we are never alone. We thank You, God, that You're in this house with us today, and You're going to help us. People came with different needs, different sicknesses, maybe different diseases, different family needs, but today we know that You're a big God, and You can help every person in this house today. We just thank You ahead of time. We thank You that we know that You're for us. You're not against us. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you just kind of give about three people a high five and say, it's great to have you in church. It's great to have you in church. We are a growing church. Ariel, come here. We're a very growing church. do yesterday? Okay, you got to get off this platform, girl. We're a growing church in many ways. I'm sorry. I just couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. If you're visiting, I'm Darcy. I'm sorry. It doesn't get better with me, so. I just wanted to welcome all of the visitors here today. We are so glad that you are with us today. So Charleston Church, will you welcome all of our visitors? We're so glad you're here. We're so glad that you are here. And some people brought their friends today, and we're glad that you came with us today. And we have a gift for you. We don't usually do this in the middle of our service, but come on down, ushers. If you have a visitor with you, or you're a visitor, will you just raise your hand? We're going to kind of go row by row, and we just want to give you a gift. And it's good to get gifts, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's so good to get gifts. Matter of fact, they gave me one this morning, and I'm not a visitor. And I think it's just to show you, but I think I'm keeping it. It's really nice. So we're just glad you're here. If you're here visiting and you're a first-time guest, we want you to fill out the contact card right in front of you. Take that out, fill it out, put it in the offering. And we're just glad that you're here. Everybody needs a good church. Amen? Amen. They need a good church. How many know that there are some exciting things that are coming up in this house? Yes. Yes. Next Sunday, how many know what next Sunday is? Next Sunday is a day that we celebrate actually every week, but next Sunday it's on the calendar. So we are celebrating that Jesus is alive. Next Sunday, it's our Easter service. And I just want you to invite, everybody should go to church on Easter, right? Everybody. That's it. That's the service you can get anybody to come. So I just want you to invite them. At the Welcome Center, there are some cards. Well, I had one, but I don't know where I put it. So, and you can just give it to your friend and invite them. I know that they're going to love it. Kids on the Move will be singing. And parents, they just come for that, I think. They're amazed, and it's just a fun time. So next Sunday is going to be Easter, and it's one of our favorite services of the year. I'm just going to go through a couple quick things that are coming up. First Wednesday is on April 4th, and that's First Wednesday, and it's an awesome service. So if you've never come to a First Wednesday because of the storms, like every First Wednesday, you need to come that First Wednesday. There will be no snow. Please, Jesus, hear me now. Okay, and then the ladies' breakfast, that's going to be on April 7th at 9 a.m. at Jeff's Catering. If you haven't signed up, you can sign up in the lobby, or you can sign up on cchurch11a.info, and we're just going to have a good time. It's good to connect with other people in your church. Some of you people have never met these over here, but there's some great people over here. So come to that breakfast, and we'll just have a great time together. And then the volunteer celebration is April 8th, and it's the 80s night, so I'm going to get my parachute pants out. And dear Lord, I don't know what I'm going to wear, but it will be fun. I promise. So it's going to be a great time. We're thankful for all our volunteers in this church every Sunday. We are so thankful. And then one more thing is on Tuesday night, we're going to go to the movies, Bangor Mall Cinemas at 6:50. We're going to see the movie I Can Only Imagine. We have 108 seats, so be there a little early. And it will just be, I heard it's tremendous. So it will be a great, great time. That's this Tuesday. Okay, come on, ushers. Come on down. It's time to give. We love to give in this church. Amen. Amen. We do love to give in this church, and I'm so thankful for your faithfulness. You know, we have, I grew up in the church, and so tithing was something I was taught as a little girl, and I've always done it, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, when I tithe, I know that it blesses my family. My family is blessed because I invest in this church and God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless this offering. God, we just thank you that you are so good. You're good in every area of our lives. You're good. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today in this church. We thank you for every person that's here, every visitor that's here, every child that's in Kids on the Move. We just thank you. And I pray, Lord, that nobody leaves the same today, that we are continually changed and helped by you. Bless this offering. Bless it, Lord, so we can do even more in our community and around the world for you. I thank you that you are a God of blessings. And I thank you for what you're going to do today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Shame and suicidal thoughts consumed my life. All of these things stole my precious days and nights and kept me focused on what makes the devil thrive. 4 years ago, I fell to my knees in my bedroom and I cried out to God. It was the only thing left to do. Some might say I hit rock bottom. I prayed to the Lord for help. I had nothing left to give, nowhere else to turn. I was invited here to Charleston that following Sunday. I came here and gave him everything. He met me right here, and he saved me. I did nothing to earn his love, and I certainly didn't deserve it. I used to think you had to have it all together before God would love you, that he wouldn't want someone like me. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I had zero knowledge of how much God loved me, zero knowledge of how much God wanted me. I had zero knowledge that his love doesn't consider himself first. He isn't selfish or self-serving. He doesn't wonder what he'll gain or lose by putting himself on the line. He simply puts himself out there on the off chance that you and I might look back at him and give him that love in return. He gives himself away again and again and again and again with no regrets. The devil is a liar, and so is in fear. But God's love is relentless. He will never give up on you. Some of you might be ashamed of your testimony. You might think it's unnecessary to share your story. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're not a victim for sharing your testimony. You're a survivor setting the world on fire with your truth. And you never know who needs your light, your warmth, and your raging courage. Someone once told me that we are all born with a hole in our hearts. I spent 36 years trying to fill that hole with millions of things. There's only one thing that can fill that hole, Jesus. And once you allow him to, it's then, and only then, will you feel complete. So if you're chained, if you're a thief or a doubter, a hero or a coward, a prisoner or a soldier, you may be young, you may be older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all who fail, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, anyone who's been let down, all the lost, you have been found. Come to the table, sit down beside the Savior, and be set free. And feel his overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love.
Wash out of your light, love, bound to your mind, love, coming after me. So no one you won't tear down, now you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. Oh, it chases me down, fires till I'm burning.
Let's stand together. Let's stand together. We thank God today for his incredible love. You know, there are some people when they go into certain places where God is acknowledged or worshiped, and they would feel condemned, whether anybody did anything or not, anybody said anything or not, anybody knew anything or not. How many know what I'm talking about when you just feel condemned? Anybody ever had those condemning thoughts come to your mind? You can admit it. You're in safe company today. I just the Lord has been saying this to me. When anybody at first level comes into this church, I think that it is God's will that we make people feel not condemned, I think that we have a plan and we have a reason to say you ought to feel redeemed when you come into God's house. Whenever somebody comes in through those doors, whether it's a special day or it's just a, you know, just a, the rotation of Sundays, I need somebody to hear it today, and I want to challenge you as a church. And if you're visiting, you need to understand this. We're not looking for reasons to look down at you. We're looking for the reason that God brought you here. You didn't come here by your own will. God influenced that. And this church is committed to the message of Christ. Sin came to make you lose, but Jesus came to make you win. And whatever thoughts you had on the way here, whatever thoughts you had walking through the parking lot, whatever thoughts you had walking into the doors or getting to a seat, whatever thoughts you had when you saw somebody you didn't know, or maybe when you saw somebody you do know, I need you to know this. It is the will of God for you to feel redeemed in this place, because God would have let you go long before now if He did not plan on putting the broken pieces of your life, all of them, back together. I think we ought to thank God that He is the great Redeemer and is able to put us together in His mighty, powerful grace and mercy. We thank God for that. Amen. While you're standing, grab your Bibles, if you would, and open them to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Those of you that are joining us online, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Everybody say hello, just a good hello. I think they could hear that. And I need you to stay tuned for the next few weeks, those of you that are a part of our online congregation, because over the next few weeks there are going to be some significant changes taking place to the quality and what we're bringing to you. So thank you for staying in tune there. Let us know where you're watching from as you watch today, and you're a part of what God is doing, and we want you to receive. So just stay right wherever you are if you can, and watch and stay in tune. We want you to be a part of what happens at the end of the service today. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 these words. Now Isaiah is a prophet who is speaking about the future, and he is speaking about the fact that Jesus, I'm all set, thank you. I would sing, but I don't think the people came to hear that. Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet is speaking about the future when God would enter the earth. For Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given." Somebody say given. You need to know that when God came to the earth 2,000 years ago, He didn't feel like He had to. He wanted to. Whether you accept Him today or not, God has given to you an opportunity to know Him. You don't have to do anything else for Him to give you the open opportunity to know Him. He's been given to you. The government will rest upon His shoulders. Now, I know you want to know, is it the Republican or the Democrats? But he's really talking about the authority for mankind to take its rights back that sin had taken from them. What spiritual death had done to mankind, God said, "I'm going to put authority back into the people." All right? But how many know it wouldn't hurt if he got involved in our government too? All right. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, I don't know who you're standing by, but if you know him well enough, you can do this. If you don't, just smile when you do it. But go ahead, and if you've got any sense of humor, if you've got a lot of ego, you're not going to be able to get with this. But go ahead and turn your name and tell them, do you know a good counselor? If you would, please, just, do you know a good counselor? Maybe you already asked them, but do you know a good counselor? Then you can be seated. Then you can be seated. Do you know a good counselor? I just imagine somebody was thinking, I wish they'd asked me that a long time ago. I wish they'd asked me that a long time ago, a good counselor. I'm going to get right to it if you don't mind. I'm not the smartest man in the room, probably one of the better looking, but I'm not the smartest man in this room. But I have to be convinced when I read of the qualities that the prophet says you'll find in Jesus when He comes to the earth, that it must mean that God has the desire to not only get into our lives, but fix our lives. He is a counselor. What's a counselor do? A counselor advises, consults, gives purpose, devises a plan. This counselor is one who's active. This counselor is one who can see everything about your life. But not only that, but please hear what I'm going to tell you. that this counselor, God himself, can see around the next corner and tell you what to do before you get there. God is a good counselor. I can live right. Sometimes we walk by God on our way to Google, getting some bad advice when we've already walked by some of the best advice we could ever experience. God, he is our counselor. Well, then that tells me this, that if Jesus said, I'll be entering the world counseling, that means he already knew that the people he's going to get involved with needed some counseling. I'm going to try that on this side over here, because all you over there already got it together. When Isaiah could have described Jesus in so many ways, but went out of his way to say, when he comes to the world and he sees the mess that people are in, he's not going to be shocked. Okay, they don't want to take it, so I'm going to try this side one more time. In other words, in his knowledge that of the people that he already knew he was going to get involved with, he knew that you're going to need a Savior. No, wait a minute. That's not the hard part. This is the hard part. He's not only going to rescue you, he knows he's going to have to restore you. Now the reason that crowd gets it is because them people were lost at one time. And have found that Jesus didn't save you just to get you to heaven, but Jesus saved you so that he could counsel you. So because I need you, let's preach to this side and tell this people that as strong as sin was in your life before you found God, God's counseling power is stronger than the pain that sin brought into your life. So the first class tickets that are sitting in the balcony need to know this as well. That the God who started the work in your life already knew what it would take, and the God that starts a thing always finishes a thing. Yes, you can get saved on Sunday, but God said you can have victory on Tuesday. I think you're getting it. I think you're getting it. Jesus didn't save you so that you can be a clean version of your sad self. Jesus didn't save you so you could have a Sunday activity for your bad marriage. Jesus didn't save you so that you have a different crowd to criticize. Jesus saved you so that he could not only make sure that hell is not in your future, but he'll make sure guilt and shame and depravity and defeat and addiction are not there either. Jesus is my counselor. Now, I don't know. You say that word and it brings up a lot of different responses from people. It depends on what kind of counselor you ever took counsel from. But I think it needs to be talked about. In 2018, America, North America, is hurting. Not just hurting in its leadership, and it's not just hurting in its wallet, and it's not just hurting in its legislation. America is hurting between its ears. And if ever the church should not be quiet, it should be now. We're in a world where the word mental illness is used over and over again. We're hearing the word mental illness all the way from the accusations against the president to excuses as to why people damage humanity. It's mental illness. Now, let's talk about that real sensitive subject. And I know you're thinking, Pastor, I brought my friend today. But what you don't know is your friend has been checking us out on Facebook long before they ever got here today. So they kind of expect something to happen. You are three parts. You are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Your body is that magnificent specimen that we all get to look at once a week. Amen. By faith. Your spirit is that who you are, that is eternal. That is that part of you that before you came to Christ was disconnected from God. The Bible calls it death. Death is separation. And what happens is when you repent of your sin, which caused separation between you and God, you invite Jesus into your life and he takes your dead spirit and he makes it alive, and now you're connected to God. So when God speaks to you, he doesn't speak to your body, he speaks to your spirit. And so when you come to Christ, you begin to develop faith that lets you live a life to another dimension, not just in the physical, but a spiritual life. And then third is the soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. And it is the soul of America and North America and perhaps many parts of the world that is badly, badly damaged. It started some decades ago when America at its core began to drift from God. The faith that our forefathers carried, though they were not perfect, carried the message of Christ. And the further we as a culture get from it, the more damaged we become. We heard it in that spoken word today. Without Christ, a significant amount of damage can take place in a person's life. And if we've ever needed the message of the wonderful counselor, we need it now. If ever the church needed to know that their God is a wonderful counselor, we need it now. I'm not going to, but I could walk from row to row, section to section, seat to seat, and you could tell your own story of the different pressures, of the different events, of the different tragedies, of the different disappointments, of the different seasons that things went wrong and pain found an entrance into your life. And because it's more popular to be religious than real, many times it's uncomfortable to hear a message that I'm going to preach today to tell you that God was not involved in the cause of that pain. God is not interested in you tolerating that pain. God is interested in taking that pain and turning it into power like only a wonderful counselor can do. It would be easier to dodge church. It would be easier to warm a pew. It would be easier to have a list of excuses. It would be easier to mix your pain with your theology and make it into something that lets you tolerate the torment, the anxiety, the stress, the worry, the anger, the depression. But I've come to tell you today, Jesus has not come to give you diagnosis. Jesus has come to give you prescription. Jesus has not come to give you a label of what people say you went through. Jesus has come to make you a new person. Old things, divorce, domestic violence, depression, anger, moral failure, old things pass away. And behold, when Jesus Christ comes in, he'll counsel you so good you won't look like what you went through. He's a wonderful counselor, a mighty God. Woo! Now you get nervous, you think I'm going to turn into a Dr. Phil sermon. I'm not interested in some sad soulless sermon. I've come to tell you, yes, the pain is real. Yes, the pain is all around us. And yes, your soul takes notes. Your soul takes notes. When you go and you have a bad restaurant experience, how many know your soul takes notes? That may show up on Facebook. Your soul takes notes. And what happens is your soul takes notes. It's called memories. How many got a memory? Memories. Memories take notes. Those memories speak to your mind. Watch, friends. The memories speak to your mind and tell your mind how to think about life. And then your mind tells you how to handle things. The problem is, most of us have memories the size of this church building and our future thoughts the size of a closet. And what you need is to understand that Christ's purpose in Romans chapter 12 is that you be transformed from a person who lives in the memory of past negatives and be turned into a brand new person by the renewing of your mind, so that you can know that God's perfect and acceptable will for you is not a closet, but your future is a bigger place than your past. It's called redemption. The moment Christ comes into your life, he takes that negative big room of past and shrinks it down to a closet, and he takes your closet of a hope for the future and blows it up to a big world. The path of the righteous grows brighter day by day. You have a choice today. You can allow your soul to speak to your mind and dwell on the past and receive the fruit of it. You can use that as an excuse to never try and never become what God called you to be, or you can invite the wonderful counselor to come into your life and say, regardless of who did it or if you did it, the wonderful counselor actually goes in and he turns ashes into beauty. He takes the garment of heaviness and turns it into the garment of praise. I'm not saying that we ignore the pain. I'm saying we give the pain to the wonderful counselor. Y'all okay with this? Y'all all right? It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. He begins to talk about the family tree of Jesus. It's wording that's different to you or I. But he says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. He's speaking of Jesus coming through the family of David, that David and Goliath David. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel will be upon him. If you're afraid of God's counsel, you will dismiss a significant portion of the ministry of Jesus Christ. God and God alone is able to transfer the pain into power. I just want to take a poll here today. How many of you have ever experienced some sort of pain? Just raise your hand. How many of you would allow God to take the worst thing and do the best thing in the middle of it? This isn't you sitting with me 45 minutes, because this is my form of counseling. Let's pray. There are people trained to counsel. But when you bring your need, first of all, to the great counselor, you cripple a man. But when he meets the great counselor, he turns into Sir Walter Scott. You raise him in abject poverty, but you can also have Abraham Lincoln. Strike him down with infantile paralysis, but he becomes Franklin D. Roosevelt. Deafen him, and he becomes the great composer, Ludwig van Beethoven. Have him or her born black in a society filled with racial discrimination. You got Booker T. Washington, Marian Anderson, and George Washington Carver. Let his teachers call him a slow learner and retarded. Write him off as uneducatable. Call him Matt Ward. Easy for you to think. Call him a slow learner, retarded, and hard to teach. And you got Albert Einstein. Helen Keller was born blind and deaf, yet she graduated from college with honors. Margaret Thatcher, England's first and only female prime minister, joined Ronald Reagan to crush communism. For a time in her childhood, had no running water or indoor plumbing. The only way pain can turn into power is not through positive thinking. It's not through a better climate. It's not through a different race. It is through the wonderful counseling power of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You are more than a job. You are more than a car. You are more than clothes. You are more than a house. You are more than your business. You are a living, breathing person. And Jesus is not all that interested, most of all, in fixing what's on the outside. He wants to start with what's on the inside. And if he can fix what's on the inside, everything outside will take care of itself. But it starts with a relationship with Christ. Before the service is over, I'm going to end this time with prayer. And I'm going to invite everybody that doesn't have a relationship with Christ to join me in that prayer, in this building and online. In that moment, when you say, yes, I want Jesus Christ to come into my life, he's not only going to come and save you, he's going to come and salvage and fix and restore you. How many of you have done that here, and you're so glad that he's been the great counselor in your life? But not only does God himself do the counseling, but he uses people. That's why I'm preaching this on Friend Day. Because God will use and give a spirit of counsel to people. There are some things God won't do without the involvement of somebody else. Let me read through a list of scriptures. Proverbs 12:15. Fools think their own way is right, but wise people listen to others. Proverbs 11:14. Without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. If you're prone to continue to fall in life over and over, if you need starts over and over again, it only reveals the quality of your counsel. If you find yourself in a financial hole, for instance, in order for you to not keep going from financial hole to financial hole, at some point you need to look over your past and say, now where am I getting my financial counsel? And stop getting counsel from them. If your marriage goes from an Al-Qaeda terrorist training camp to an ISIS terror training camp, my advice to you is to think back who's been advising you. We want to act like our lives are the result separate from our counsel, but it's not. If you take all your marital advice from Waylon Jennings and whoever these weird new young country guys are, I have no idea. They don't look country anymore. I don't know what they look like, but they don't look like country. It just feels good to say it, doesn't it? If you take your counsel from talk show psychologists, come on, somebody. If you take you look, we're all getting our counsel from somewhere. I would suggest to you that Proverbs is correct. There's safety in getting good counsel. The reason we reject good counsel is because it disrupts our lives. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who takes the counsel of the godly and rejects the counsel of the ungodly. That means there's more than one kind of counsel. There are people that are cloaked with counsel. May I just say this to you? It'll get better in a minute. Maybe. Let me just say this to you. If you've got a friend that's full of the Holy Spirit, even if you don't have any concern for God, you want to keep them close to you. Now, we have counselors that are part of this church, and I thank God for them. But why, for the life of me, a Christian or a non-Christian, but specifically a Christian, would take counsel from somebody who was in school and were trained to hate the God you serve? You're asking for the counsel of the ungodly. I know what that sounds like, but it's still the truth. You cannot have somebody who was trained to hate your God give you God counsel. There are enough people, if you need somebody to sit down and talk to, that are full of the Holy Spirit, if you will look for them. But I'm suggesting that we need not only those, but we need a church full of people who are full of the Holy Spirit, who have counsel. Look, God can give immense counsel through somebody who maybe isn't even as educated as you. But if they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they have godly counsel, heed it, take it, grasp it, nurture it, care for it, because it could save your marriage, it could save your children, it could save your life. Proverbs 19:20. Get all the advice and instruction you can so you'll be wise the rest of your life. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Proverbs 15:22. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Y'all good? Just trying to think what I... You see, quality counsel will establish godly purpose. Quality counsel. Who do you get your counsel from? Well, you say, well, I don't really need anybody's help. Good, I got a scripture for you. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Those who trust their own insight are foolish. how many know that's true? I don't need anybody's help. Whap! You're a fool. Who did you ask before you started building that shed? Nobody. Whap! That's why it looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? Come on, how many have ever done something? You say, I don't need anybody's advice, I can do this. Famous last words. How many of you ladies are married to a guy like that? I don't need no stinking instructions. I need to say something very spiritual. This is not Disney. I'm just going to follow my heart. I saw a Pocahontas movie. It killed her. I'm just going to follow my heart. You're not Bambi. No, this isn't Disney Channel. This is Discovery Channel. This is reality TV. This is reality TV right here. And if you're taking your spiritual cues from a guy with big ears, I'm not talking about Dr. Phil, I mean Mickey Mouse. If you take your counsel and you're living there, I'm going to tell you that all feels good till the credits roll. It's real life, ladies and gentlemen, and you're dealing with real decisions. And I would encourage you. When I was the chaplain at the prison on the hill, I did a wedding there. The lady came, I don't know, it was sometime in the morning. And the lady came with a wedding party, and we were waiting for the groom, who was the man in prison. And we waited and waited and waited. It was like an hour. I didn't know if we had like a runaway groom type thing, which would become a huge problem. And he came in, he looked like, he just got out of bed. I mean, he didn't have to pick out clothes. It was blue shirt. Now, which blue shirt am I going to wear today? Which blue pants am I going to wear today? And he came an hour. There are no other benefits, if you know what I mean, at the prison up here for being married. So I'm thinking, he finally comes in. Where have you been? I overslept. Okay. Your fiance is in jail. You needed a background check to have this ceremony. And he overslept. Okay, you do. You're done. This ain't Disney. This is real life. And that poor girl needed somebody to come along, like a counselor, and say, let's just think about this. I was the accomplice to a crime. I felt like I should go to jail that day. And it's funny and it's humorous, but I'm just going to tell you, we should not let our shame and fear block godly counsel from godly friends. Well, I don't have any godly friends. It's because you go to Cowboys Tavern every Friday night. Go to church. Go to church. That's where godly people go. This is not near what I thought I was going to do, but. I just don't want to, I'm just afraid, and I understand this, I am a man, okay? I'm just afraid of talking about my situation. I don't want anybody to know that I have a problem. Can you imagine if you just would not go to Whitney's? You need apples, but you don't want to be seen in Whitney's because you don't want anybody to think you need apples? What will people think of me? They think you need apples. No, I'm being so serious. Imagine if your car was broke down and cars on the side of the road in Bangor, and And Ben Dunkel pulls over and says to Andy Dunn, "Well, Andy, what's going on? I ran out of gas." "Well, there's a gas station over there." "I know, but I didn't want anybody to think I needed gas." Some people don't come to God because they don't want anybody to think that they need Him. Look at me. I can't live without Him. I'm not here because I'm strong. I'm here because I'm not. We're not building a great church for God and we're gonna blow the walls out of this thing, not for people who don't need God. We're going to blow the walls out of this thing because everybody needs the Lord. But what they need to get is around some people who will give good, godly counsel. Let's talk about one instance. How about David? A painful situation. David, we don't really know anything for sure about his mother, King David, that is. We know his dad is Jesse. He had some kind of a relationship but with David's mother, but we never see him. We don't know where she went for sure. So he has all these other boys that are growing up in the house, but David is cast out and forced to raise the sheep. Now, Jesse is a very wealthy owner of a business, and no business owner would send his son out to one of the most dangerous jobs that were known in the Middle East back then. He sent his son out to die. Now, I don't know how many of you have been rejected by a parent, but I got an idea. There's a lot of it around here. And I can look at somebody's life, and when you see somebody who's been rejected by a father or a mother, there is a tremendous moment of pain in that person's life that they can carry for the rest of their life. We sometimes look at the Bible characters and we think they're totally different than us. Absolutely not. Most of them are actually more like us than we realize. Maybe it's not a parent, but somebody rejected you and said, "I don't want you in my life anymore." That's not fun. Samuel, the great prophet, comes to Jesse's house and says, "I've got oil, and I'm going to anoint the next king of Israel out of your house." Whew, they get all the boys over. Samuel picks up the oil, thinking he'll anoint the Ivy League son. It won't flow. It just stops. Tries to anoint the frat boy. The oil won't flow. It just won't happen. The star on the varsity team won't flow. The honor list kid won't flow. The perfect child won't flow. And Samuel says, "You must have one more son because the oil is not flowing." "Well, I do have one more." Must have been pretty humbling for Jesse to admit it. What a terrible thing for Jesse to do. But then, you know, you stay around the presence of God long enough, he'll take care of stuff. Nobody gets away with anything. And so, call in David. David comes in. He doesn't know what he's coming in for. Unlike the other seven times when Samuel picked up the oil, which represented the anointing, which represent the sanctioning of God. When it wouldn't flow, all of a sudden, drip, 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 drip. Somebody needs to hear what I'm going to tell you right now, and you need to hear it very well. The pain of the past does not stop the drip of the anointing. Drip. In fact, I sense the Holy Spirit in here today. Some of you came in so broken. Look, I think you can tell by my preaching. I'm no softy. I'm no counselor. I only know the word, and I'm preaching what the word says. But I can tell you, I've been around enough people, and I can sense enough pain. And I know there's pain in here, and I know there's a huge amount of pain all around us in this part of the state of Maine, and perhaps everywhere. But I want you to hear this. No matter what the past or what the pain, the oil will still drip if you just get in the right place and say, "My pain does not disqualify me, for it is a position that God will allow the oil to flow. My worst moment is just preparation for my best moment." Broken. He's broken. He grows up, becomes a great king. His father still hates him. His brothers reject him, and his boss wants nothing to do with him. Remember? Jesse didn't honor what happened. His brothers thought he was still just a punk. They didn't want him around. Then he went to his first job against Saul, and Saul hated him. And he gets victory after victory. You better be careful when you overcome some pain and you start getting some victories that you don't handle your victories wrong. Because when David got some victories, he started hiding behind his victories. And when it came time for him to go out and lead his battle to fight, he stayed home. And you know the story. It was when he stayed home and he saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop next door. Because broken people have a hard time keeping themselves under discipline. Broken people, all of a sudden he got this pornographic spirit that hit him. You know, we look at people in sin and we should speak against the sin, but you got to understand behind the sinner is usually somebody who's broken. He takes Bathsheba, he makes sure that Bathsheba's husband's killed, they have a son, life's good for a couple years. Life's good for a couple years. One day there's a knock on the door of his house. Hey, it's Nathan. Nathan's been his counselor the entire time he's been king, and Nathan has been a tremendous help through all these victories. Nathan says, I want to tell you a story, Dave. Yeah, okay, bro, sit down. He says, I want to tell you a story about a man that raised a lamb in his house. And it was a little family, and they loved that little lamb. They raised it, became a pet. But then this mean ruler said, I need to feed a meal to these guests that have come in out of town. And instead of getting one of his own, he goes to the poor man's house and he steals what is precious to somebody else and feeds it to another. And David is wild, because how many know guilty people can be some of the loudest ones? I can't help it. When I see some people criticizing on Facebook, I have to think, what are you hiding? And David's like, we ought to go kill that man. And Nathan's like, you're the man. And David's like, oh, that hurts. Nathan doesn't say, because you're dad. Come on, this is grown folk preaching today. He doesn't say it's because you're brothers. He doesn't say it's because of Saul. He said, David, you're the man. Now, the problem with preaching this here is that some of you have had somebody come along and they found out, but they didn't handle you like Nathan handled you. Because I'm going to tell you the way Nathan handled it is so much different, because I can see the way David responded to it. Go to, is it 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, whatever's next. Then David went in and he sat before the Lord and prayed. I cannot tell you, if you could just be as still as possible with me for this few moments, I feel like it's vital. When you truly have the counsel of the Holy Spirit, and when somebody is truly anointed of the Holy Spirit to bring you counsel, and they deal with your pain, it won't make you want to run and hide from God. It'll make you want to run and get on your knees before God and say, you know, God, it wasn't my dad or my brothers or my boss. It wasn't her fault. It wasn't the military. It was my fault. But David knew God well enough to know this, that even in the midst, David one time said, I was afflicted, but it was good for me. Why? Because I found out something about God that I didn't know before, that he doesn't just draw you for your gifts. He draws you for your weakness, because he's glorified in our weakness. He's glorified in our pain, because it's that area that we allow him to work the best at. You need somebody like Nathan. You need the Holy Spirit in your life to counsel you so that you don't run from God. You run to him. And I got news for somebody. If you'll run to him, you won't find the backhand of God. You'll feel the upholding hand of God. He'll heal you. He'll help you. He'll restore you. He'll bless you. He'll make all things new. Heal me, Lord. I need a counselor. Come on, musicians. Let me tell you how counsel works. Let me get done. Number one, counsel works by getting under your skin. When the Holy Spirit comes and works in your life, he gets in underneath your skin. What does that mean? That means you're not looking for excuses outside. You're saying, Lord, fix me on the inside. Secondly, he asks questions. Is anything too hard for God? Adam, where are you? Peter, do you love me? God loves to confront us with questions that breaks our wrong mindsets. And then he tells us the truth. Kind words are powerful, but they're not as powerful as true words. I need God to speak to me truthfully. And look what happened to David. It could have been the worst moment of his life, but Psalms 51, verse 7, out of this meeting is what Paul writes, some of what he writes. It's the prayer you can pray today that will heal every hurt. David said, purify me from my sins. I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Give me back my joy again. You've broken me, but now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. And lastly, you can take my car, you can take my house, you can take my job, you can take my clothes, you can take away my bank account, you can take away my four-wheel, you can take away my snowmobile, you can take away my pickup, you can take away my shoes, you can take away all the things I love in life, but don't ever take your Holy Spirit from me. Because as long as I have the Holy Spirit, I never have to worry about my pain coming back to hurt me. For the Lord is here, and he has brought you into this place to not only stop the past, but to start a new future. For the Lord says, I'm not the God of a second chance, I'm a God of another chance. You've gone beyond the second chance, but the Lord says, I've come to make all things new. The Lord is saying in this place today that what men struggle to get done for you, it's easy for God to give you a new heart. Let the Lord come in today and restore to you a clean heart. Stop striving for material things to bring you joy. And start allowing God to grow the fruit of joy in your life. You are not disqualified from my plan. The Lord says you are not so damaged that you cannot be used. The Lord says, but yield to the counsel that I'm giving to you. Do not stay comfortable in the way things have been, but get a holy indignation. And say, Lord, whatever you need to do in my life, do it in me, says the Lord. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your spirit that's here today. It's beautiful. Lord, I thank you that there are individuals in this place, men and women, Lord, who are not so proud. But God, they realize that no matter what has happened, is not bigger than what you want to do. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us from our future. That the past need no longer shadow our future. God, we have made our decision today that we're not going to let pain be our teacher. We're going to let you be our teacher. We're going to take our cues from the Word of God. We're going to get godly advice from Spirit-filled people. We're going to let you take care and be our wonderful counselor. If you believe that and receive it in Jesus' name, say a good amen. Again, with every head bowed and every eye closed. God has gotten in this meeting. If you're not understanding perhaps what just happened here, by His Spirit, he loves to just do things by more than one person. And so this person here, God's given them a heavenly language to pray in, speak. God just spoke to my heart and my mind what He's trying to say to you, to back up what God's already doing. You know, it's so beautiful that you came today. Thank you. Especially if a friend invited you, especially if you got connected some way on Facebook, so important. And as I said at the beginning of the time that we've started here together, that Jesus Christ came into the earth. He was given. He came into the earth so that you can be reunited with your Maker, with God the Father. He wants you to come into His family. He wants to get involved in your life. And it's a simple prayer. It's easy. It's one, you admit, I need a Savior. I'm born without God. Two, you got to believe that Jesus died for you, not just for other people, it's for you. And third, you need to confess it. You need to not be ashamed of it, but be public about it. And you say, when you pray that prayer today, I want to be one of those people that are a part of that. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. So I look across the auditorium. Yes, God bless you. Who else? Yes, God bless you. Who else? Anybody else on the main floor, into the balcony? Yes, I see that hand over there, that hand up there. I see your hand over here. Thank God, thank God. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. The healing starts today in Jesus' name. I said the healing starts today for you in Jesus' name. Without anybody going out of the building, out of respect for what He's going to do next, would you all just stand together with me, please? Would you stand together with me? And those of you that raised your hand, get your neighbor by the hand and say, I want you to go with me. And quickly make your way to the altar. We're going to pray this prayer together in a very special place, in a very special time in your life. Quickly, come, join me. Stand right here, and we're going to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to help you. Coming over here, come in here. Come on, from the balcony, come on down. Let's rejoice with these folks. Come on. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Come on, come on. God bless you. What's your name? Melody? Have we met before? Don't think so. Okay. Well, you look familiar. You look like somebody I met before. I'm so glad you're here, Melody. Hello, young lady. Janice, I'm so glad that you're here today. Nice to meet you. It's nice to meet you. You are having a wonderful time. This is your second time here? Praise God. Who brought you? Tim, wonderful. Well, it's just going to get better. It's going to get better. Isn't this wonderful? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. It was for me that you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Please forgive me from all my sins. I believe that what you did on the cross pays the price. The punishment for my sins, you already took it, and I get forgiveness. Thank you for loving me, bringing me into your family. I have a brand new beginning. I have a much better future. Please fill me with your Spirit. I am saved. I want to be healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray for these precious folks that have prayed today and those online. I thank you, Lord, that what you start, you finish. And God, the work that will take place in all these lives, Lord, only eternity will be able to reveal the complete picture of what will take place. So, God, I pray your hand be upon them in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you'll protect them. Lord, we as a church support them, surround them. We want to help them. God, I believe the best is yet to come. The past is gone. And today, the future, a brand new future, just begins now in Jesus' name. Let's say a good amen and thank God for his saving grace today. Bless you. I'll tell you what's going to happen. These folks are going to give you Bibles. We want to help you. We want to support you. All right? Thank you for coming today. Did you come with her? You already know some great people. All right. Let's one more time thank God for His wonderful grace, His presence. I'm going to ask you to do this just as we dismiss in a moment. You know, next Sunday's a big day, isn't it? How many of you know somebody is hurting that needs a good healer? They need to meet Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll anoint this precious church, Lord. We'll be back here tonight, but this week, use us, Lord, to be counseled, strengthened by your Spirit, to be soul winners this week. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody.